At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a blockbuster weekend. Rangers are appealing John Lundstrom's red card after they dropped points in a controversial game at Hibs. Celtic's 100% record continues against Hearts as they close in on a new signing. And Dundee United's woes continue amid big wins for St Mirren, Motherwell, Kilmarnock and Aberdeen. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna.
Gordon, it is time for this show to experience the joy of six. It's 6 o'clock. We've got six Premiership games to go over. We witnessed six red cards in those games. We saw six controversial refereeing decisions, maybe even more. I've got the former Hibs and Livingston number six at my side. And if he actually says what he thinks about the Firth Park linesman, he'll get a six game ban.
And a 6-figure fine. Gordon, I never nearly turned up today. Obviously, you being a Motherwell fan and what happened at the weekend, but I'm sure we'll get into that. Listen, it's a lot cooler in here today, so I'm just happy with that.
There were some other refereeing decisions as well. I don't know if you'd noticed, so
no.
we might get round to Fir Park at some point. 0141-951-1025. That is the number you need. My goodness, what a weekend it was. As Roger said, he's given you some of the stats. There were big wins, there were brilliant goals, there were penalties given, penalties not given, red cards all over the place. This is the place to be after a weekend like that. Come on, 0141-951-1025, and get everything off your chest. If it's been since Saturday, you've been festering away, just waiting for the chance to speak your mind, and now you can. We had a big game yesterday, of course, in the East End of Glasgow. So whatever you've got for us, 0141-951-1025 right now. Result of the weekend, Roger Hanna, go.
Dundee United 0, St Mirren 3. A fantastic win. St Mirren not so long ago seemed to be in deep trouble, but they beat Ross County with a great goal by Richard Tate, and then they go up to Tannadice and just heap more misery on poor Jack Ross.
I've had a late change of heart. I've decided to go Ross County 1, Kilmarnock 0. I think it was a big game, although it was very early in the season. A lot of people building up as a 6-pointer. Ridiculous, I know, because there's only 5 games into it, I think. But I think that was a massive, or 4 games into it, it was a massive, massive win for them, especially coming in the 86th minute.
Okay, goal of the weekend. Again, good choices. I know we're going to spend most of the night whinging about referees, but we've got to give credit where it's due.
I'm going to have to go for the one that I witnessed myself at Perth at the weekend. Leighton Clarkson's free kick.
Wonderful.
For Aberdeen to win the game against St Johnson. We spoke to the lad afterwards and he said it all goes back to one-on-one tuition on the training ground from his former Liverpool under-18 coach, a man by the name of Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, whatever happened to him? Marvin, goal of the weekend.
Josh Campbell.
Kevin Van Veen's penalty.
No chance. Let's not go there. Josh Campbell, the chest and half volley for me was absolutely unbelievable. So late on in the game, you know, to make it 2-2, the celebrations that kind of followed that. But, you know, the young man's had a really good start to the season and he gets my goal of the weekend.
And barely mentioned. Because that's how Scottish football operates.
Exactly, yeah.
That's probably
forgotten
the last time it'll get spoken about between now and 8 o'clock. Right, how long have you got? Seriously, let's extend the show. Howler of the weekend, Roger Hanna.
Alfredo Morelos. Take my word for it. Take the word of Graham Souness, a man who's no stranger to a red card at Easter Road. He said today Rangers now need to get rid of Alfredo Morelos because, to quote Graham, they can't trust him anymore. Only on the park for a matter of moments. Rangers already down to 10 men. And a ludicrous lash out at Marian Cabrera. It's only the decision Willie Collum got right in the whole day.
Okay. Oh, I know it's coming here. Just right, get it over with.
Here comes my fine. John McCrossan. And people might not know who he is. And that is the linesman who saw something that didn't happen. He gave the penalty to Motherwell. Ended up costing us a point that I think was thoroughly deserved. And, you know, as tight as the season's going to be, we're not happy with him at all. But I think what should happen to him now, I'm actually going to do the job of the people who put the assistants in place.
You're I think get should... serious. Hold on, I'm going to give you the chance to
wait,
stop
let
yourself
me finish.
Fight
let
here.
Me finish. I think what should happen is he should maybe go down a few tiers, you know, and learn the rules of the game, learn that you can chest the ball away. It's not a penalty kick. And, you know, then come back up. So maybe the Lowland League for this weekend, and then we'll go from there.
He is a harsh, harsh critic, this man. Do you believe in karma, Marvin Bartley?
Listen, I believe in a lot of things after that handball was given.
Do you remember the text you sent me Saturday lunchtime? You called Motherwell a very unfair, impolite name, and this is the universe coming back to bite you. You'll be getting no sympathy from me.
Can I just double check? Did you not sit in the stand for a suspension at Wednesday's last season?
I did.
Game at Aberdeen.
Yep, and now John deserves a suspension for what he did.
No, I'm just...
You're not going to get allowed to come back on this show.
Why? John's not listening anyway.
Oh, he is.
He should be doing other things.
He will be, you know.
John, 0141.
Exactly, John. Put this guy in his place, John. See how bad he is at Beat the Pundit.
Sit down the flag, pick up the phone.
Anyway, right, where are we? Performance of the weekend. Top performer.
Well, listen, I'm going to go back individual. I'm going to go back to Tannadice. Two goals for Curtis Main. He has had a sort of hit and miss time at St Mirren, but I was reading quotes from him after the game. I think he was in for an operation during the summer. He feels fitter. He feels that he is ready to give his everything for St Mirren this season. Couple of good goals. He's forming a decent partnership with Jonah Younger up there for Stephen Robinson, and things are going so well for him at St Mirren. They've named a stand after him.
I'm going to go for Brian Graham. Played Friday night for Partick Thistle, contributed with two fantastic goals, all round brilliant performance, and I think he's the man to fire them back to the Premier League.
01419511025. Tin helmets on. Let's go. Let's see what was on your mind after the weekend. William in Dorset, take it away.
How's it going, guys? Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think the standard of refereeing in Scotland, it just went down on another notch, even if it could go down another notch. Two referees in particular, Willie Collum at Easter Road and Kevin Clancy at Celtic Park. Willie Collum, you're right, you get maybe one decision right, sending Morelos off. As a Rangers fan, I think it's unacceptable to lash out at another player. I think the John Lundstrom red card, I think that'll get downgraded. And I think Willie Collum should probably go down a couple of tiers. I agree with Marvin about that linesman that he says at Motherwell. I think it was absolutely a ridiculous decision, and I think there was a few ridiculous decisions over the weekend. Listening to Sky Sports and watching Sky Sports today, the referee, full professional referee down in England, he agrees with every single decision I was making today.
Yeah. Williams packaged them all nicely in one manageable chunk. I want to go through them. Take your pick. William, first of all, says he won't argue about Alfredo Morelos. So that's an interesting start. Well, William's a Rangers fan. Won't argue with that. You've already agreed. You showed your hand, Roger. Marvin, so we can knock that one on the head. Is there any debate there?
No, not for me. It's a red card all day long. I think it was ridiculous, petulant. It was uncalled for, and I agree with William. 100% a red card, no point appealing that one.
The captain of Rangers, James Tavernier, said it was stupid. That's all you need to know.
Case closed. We don't do that. We don't do that at 10 past six very often. I don't know about that. We'll get some disagreements soon. Right, I guess the most contentious, I don't know if you can give out such an award, John Lundstrom, Marvin Bartley. How many of those tackles have you put in your career?
An awful lot. I genuinely could not believe that a red card was handed out for that tackle. It's a tackle that we've seen happen so many times. And I was speaking to some of the boys about it, and I said, you know, when I was playing the game, if one of my, you know, midfielders would have done that, I'd have given a high five and said, well done for stopping a counter-attack. How that can ever, ever be a red card, to me, makes absolutely no sense. And we saw with Kieran Trippier yesterday, you know, the referee gave a red card. His one looked slightly higher, and it looked like he hit De Bruyne in the knee, went to VAR and downgraded it to a yellow card. But for me, the John Lundstrom one, he's clearly slid down the side. He's clearly tripped Martin Ball. Yes, it's frustrating for the team that's attacking, but that never in a million years is a red card.
So really what you're saying is the lack of VAR is the problem and not Willie Collum, because the referee in England also gave that as a red at first viewing.
But I think they were slightly different tackles. As I said, you know, Trippier's for me was slightly higher and it looked like he made more contact with the knee. The Lundstrom one was never a red card. And you know what? It would be good if they came out and said, you know, you don't even need to appeal that. We've seen that. We're downgrading it to a yellow card and that's the end of it. You know, the fact that they're going to make a club go for an appeal for that. And by the way, if he doesn't win that, then, you know, football's in big trouble.
Rangers are appealing it. Roger, will they win?
Yes, they will win because Willie Collum was wrong. There were four of these over the weekend, north and south of the border. Kieran Trippier, high profile win, Newcastle, Man City. Jake Doyle Hayes.
Well, that's probably the better comparison, isn't it? Because as we said, the Trippier one was actually given as a red first viewing, but Jake Doyle Hayes wasn't.
The fourth one I was going to throw into the equation was Callaghan of Ross County, Ross Callaghan on Ryan Olabioso of Kilmarnock, which was the worst of them all.
That is the thing, and I think that's something we should be conscious of, right? It's not lost on me. I know that we need the Celtic and Rangers drama, and it makes this show go round. But for all the hoo-ha that's going to cause, the Ross County one is the worst of the lot, but no one's going to phone in and say that there's a bias against Kilmarnock.
And it's consistency as well. You know, we'll take the Ross County one in isolation. It's a red card. It's a terrible challenge. It could have seriously injured the young man who's on loan from Arsenal. It's a terrible challenge. Dennett McInnes was absolutely correct. But if you take the two ones at Easter Road, now you can say Doyle Hayes on Lundstrom is worse than Lundstrom and Boyle. I just pretend for a moment they're the exact same.
They're pretty similar, to be fair, aren't they?
Similar challenge. So how on earth can one be a yellow card and one be a red card? How on earth is that possible from the same referee? It's ridiculous. And it's performances like that give Scottish referees a bad name.
I mean, William, of course, we will have VAR at some point, and we saw a similar tackle, English Premier League, and it did get overturned. And VAR, is that the sort of thing that fixes this, or does the problem run deeper?
Well, to be honest, you're right about consistency. They're consistently wrong, those two referees, consistently getting decisions wrong.
Well, no, because you said that he got Alfredo Morelos right.
But the thing is, see during the game before Lundstrom was sent off, Rangers were comfy in that game. Rangers were comfy, right? You take a player out the midfield, right, and then they lose a striker, right? Their backs are against the wall. Now, the striker one you can cover because you've still got a set midfield and a set defence there, right? You might not have an out ball, but I think taking a player, getting a player set off for either your defence or your midfield, right, that's where you're going to get issues. Right, and Willie Collum and Kevin Clancy are constantly making the wrong decisions in games, constantly.
What did Kevin Clancy do wrong that's annoyed you at Celtic Park yesterday?
Well, it was all about the yellow cards and stuff as well. There was loads of yellow cards given out to Hearts. Mm-hmm. The same tackles that the Celtic players were making, right? There was no bookings, no yellow cards.
But what do you mean the same tackles? I mean, they weren't the same, were they? Put it this way, the two biggest talking points were the two Hearts red cards. Were those wrong decisions for you or right decisions?
To be honest, they were probably the right decisions at that point, but it was all to do with the bookings as well and the free kicks.
What do you mean? What in particular?
There were just loads of free kicks for Celtic, and the thing is, Hearts were getting fouled as well, but there was no bookings coming out for the Celtic players at that point.
I mean,
listen, it's Robbie Nielsen who has set in this with his post-match comments about when you come here to Celtic Park, you need a strong referee, and Celtic had 11 fouls and no cards. We had 12 fouls and 7 yellows and 2 reds. And
what does that prove?
It doesn't prove anything. Now, I watched the game, the highlights package of the game last night. There was 2 bookings for Alec Cochran, and there was 2 bookings for Toby Sibbick. And if you take the 4 incidents in isolation, they were all probably bookings.
Which William agrees with, by the way.
To be perfectly honest with you. Now, the Celtic fouls, were any of the... I certainly didn't see any Celtic fouls on TV last night that I would have thought, oh my goodness, that's a yellow card. So I think Robbie Nielsen was, you know, I've heard them talk like this in Glasgow before, after a defeat.
Hearts, were they both sendings off?
Yeah, I think they were. You know, they're both definitely, you know, second bookings, and it's unfortunate, but I totally agree with that. I don't think Kevin Clancy did anything wrong yesterday, if I'm honest. You know, and that's first time
you've said that.
You know, I'm protecting the referee 15 minutes into the show. But yeah, I don't think he did much wrong. I get the frustrations because the amount of fouls, etc. But, you know, I have to disagree with William. I wouldn't say that they were similar fouls, and, you know, Hearts players were getting booked and Celtic players weren't.
Any concerns about Rangers' performance, William, or was it all sort of, you know, done by the ref?
To be honest, I think they were pretty comfy when they went 2-1 up. They were quite comfy. They were getting the balls down the lines, getting some decent passes on the goal. I don't think the Rangers were really in any much trouble until Lundstrom was sent off.
That fair, Roger. Mostly the refs doing, William. suggests.
I didn't think they were particularly good, I have to say. That said, I didn't think Celtic were particularly good yesterday either. I think these are probably, and listen, Marvin saw Rangers up close in the first day of the season when they huffed and puffed in the first half. I genuinely didn't think, certainly Celtic's worst performance in the league this season, and arguably Rangers' worst performance in the league this season. They took the lead before half time from a penalty that I didn't think was a penalty. Hibs equalised. Rangers scored a terrific second goal. Good build up, good cross, good header by Tom Lawrence. And at that stage, maybe you would have expected them to go on, but I never thought they were comfortable. Certainly not after Lundstrom's card, and definitely not after Morelos' card.
Thank you, William. Let's bring in Alan, who's also a Rangers fan. A lot's been said about refereeing decisions already tonight. Alan, what's your take?
Oh my God, I watched the highlights last night of the Ross County game, and there was two tackles in that game which were absolutely criminal, and both got yellow cards, but honestly they were shocking. They were career threatening tackles. The first one with Callaghan was bad enough, but see the second one, I can't remember the player.
Jack Baldwin,
ball,
I think, wasn't it?
Loses control of the ball and he goes right over the top. If the Kilmarnock player's got a standing leg, his leg's broken. Oh, it reminded me of the Simpson-Durant tackle. It was absolutely horrendous.
You know, the reason I think points like that are important, Marvin, is because, look, it doesn't change anything. If we think we've got a problem with refereeing standards, then it's a problem. But that, it's good to point that out and analyse these things. But what it should stop, Alan's a Rangers fan, he's phoned in and he's angry about decisions that he saw. If we're truly bothered about driving up standards and looking for solutions, we need to get away from this notion that so many of us have out there, that the referees are out to get my team. It's my team that's on the receiving end of bad decisions. Watch the Premiership card from the weekend. That's not the case for any individual team.
No, I totally agree. You know, there's a lot of mistakes, you know, made across the board. And, you know, I agree with Alan that the tackles in the Ross County game for me are extremely dangerous and one that need to be stamped out of our game. You know, I think they've gone a long way, referees, in doing so, and the people who make the rules. I don't know how he got away with a booking for that. And I think, you know, as one professional to another, when you make that sort of tackle and you know you've done that, you know, to see a yellow card, Ross was probably thinking, "Wow, I've got away with one there." But it's totally unacceptable. And referees need to. It's an easy decision. You know, we're not asking them to see round players or round corners, for example. So, for me, it wasn't acceptable. The referee had to make the right decisions, and we need to find out why the referees aren't making the right decisions, because didn't they? They are ruining the game.
They're trialling VAR just now in some of the Premiership games, and we don't find out the decisions. Mm-hmm. We don't find out who is the VAR that weekend. I'd be fascinated to find out what those VARs are reporting back to the SFA.
I wouldn't. It was our game.
I think we've got enough madness on our hands.
Because the VARs, if they're being honest, they'll be reporting back to the SFA.
Oh, they'd have to. That's the process, isn't it?
Some of these decisions are terrible. They're absolutely terrible.
Alan, John Lundstrom, Rangers have appealed that. Are you confident he'll win? I don't detect yet. I mean, they may say they're still considering it, but don't seem as strong on Alfredo Morelos. As a Rangers fan, what was your take on his incident?
Gordon, if I was Rangers, I would transfer list Morelos tomorrow. He's missed the men, there's too many. And this isn't going to please Marvin. If I was Rangers, I would take a punt on Joel Nubley.
Oh yes, take him away.
Alan, you're doing so well.
He's a big chap, he holds the ball up well, he's got a presence, he can bring players in, he's got really good feet, and he's got an eye for goal, and it's something that Rangers don't have. It really is. I would sign him in a heartbeat.
What do you think, Marvin?
Not for sale. That's the answer.
At any price?
No, at any price.
Roger,
you're kidding me. Your manager's putting him in the back of that white transit van and firing him along the M8 towards Ibrox on the off chance.
I'm not sure he's taking the M8 when you get in the white van. You normally ain't coming back from that, Roger.
Since the day Alfredo Morelos landed here from Finnish football, Roger, it's been easy to get hysterical because the guy's blockbuster, right? Let's forget whether that means good, bad, or somewhere in the middle. He is blockbuster. He's constantly involved in every way possible. He's not been sent off for almost 3 years. Alan says one misdemeanour too many. Rangers fans, did they think he had turned a corner? Is that why they feel a bit let down at the weekend? Or what's the overall feeling?
No, I don't think they feel let down because of his disciplinary record. This red card has come off the back of a very disappointing, frustrating, annoying start to the season for Alfredo Morelos. Now, Rangers are getting into a run of fixtures which could well define their season. Away to PSV Eindhoven in the Champions League playoff on Wednesday night. Then Ross County and Queen of the South quickly. But then they've got away games at Celtic Park, Tynecastle and Pittodrie coming very, very quickly. And, you know, they're huge fixtures in the calendar for Rangers. In an ideal world, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst would have at his side a player who is the club's record goal scorer in the European history of the football club. A player who has scored 114 goals in 228 games. A goal every two games, Gordon. That's a great asset to have. But he's not a great asset to have if he's sitting suspended in the stand, or if you have to keep him sat on the bench because of his fitness currently. Mm-hmm. It's a massive problem for Rangers. Now, he hasn't signed a contract beyond this season. No problem with that. And there's Ryan Kent. But if Ryan Kent was to come to Rangers, I'll draw a scenario to you. Ryan Kent could come to Rangers in the next 10 days and say quite fairly to the club, listen, guys, I've had a great time here. I'm going to look for something else, you know, beyond this season. So it's up to you how you deal with it. And Rangers could get their money back, probably get more money back in Ryan Kent. Talented young player, has done really well for Rangers. He's enhanced his reputation here, and there's a saleable value to him. If Morelos comes and says, I'm not signing a new contract, who's going to buy him just now? And for how much money?
Yeah, I'm in total agreement. You know, the red card aside, I think he doesn't look like a player that's ready to contribute, you know, to Rangers Football Club at this moment in time due to his fitness. And that's a worry, not only for the manager, but also for his teammates. You know, I've played with players when they came back in their talisman and you think, right, here we go, we got them going. He doesn't look to me if he's working hard enough, you know, away from the 90 minutes on a Saturday. And Gio's right, you know, he didn't bring him on in Europe last time. You know, will he bring him on in the second leg? Maybe if they're chasing the goal. But I just don't think you can count on him to go on the pitch and contribute in the right way. And for a manager, that's a massive, massive problem.
Thank you, Alan. I don't know about that sale for Joel Nobley, but we'll try and get you a cut if it goes through. 01419511025. We are nowhere near done with the weekend's talking points. If you get your calls in now, we'll try and speak.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
You next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 01419511025. If these phone lines are anything to go by, we ain't going anywhere at 8 o'clock. This might need to be a 6-hour epic after the weekend we've just had. So keep the calls coming or tweet us at Clyde SSB.
I was going to say we're going to watch Man United Liverpool at 8 o'clock, but I'm afraid Eddie will phone in and give us a row again.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of stick last week for talking about English football too much, apparently.
Oh really?
We obviously don't, but you know, yeah, it is what it is, as they say. Who's up first? I think it was Scott in Broxbourne. How's it going, Scott?
How you doing, guys? I'm not too bad. Right, here we go. I just sort of kind of let off some steam here. Now, I think I've got a good idea with the referee situation. Now, I'll come back to that in a wee second, if you don't mind. Obviously, everybody knows that Lundstrom never ascended an half in a million years. Alfredo, I obviously, you know, kind of highly kind of debatable. Now, do you see when people are saying that Alfredo, you know, that's it, you know, sack him, you know, kind of boot him up the backside and what have you else and what have you else? I've never heard so much nonsense in all my life. Absolutely. I mean, to sell Alfredo would be nothing sort of absolute ludicrous. Me personally, he's lashed it. Maybe it's a bit of frustration, I don't know. But at the end of the day, great goal scorer. He's one of your kind of talismanic players. So to let him go and to replace a man that has kind of goal scoring abilities would set you back tens of millions.
Roger, I'll file that back to you, Scott. I'm not bothered for 1 minute if he lashes out and hits Cabrera and gets a red card. He's not been sent off for 3 years. So I don't agree with anyone who talks about his, you know, disciplinary record, etc, etc, etc. Not been sent off for 3 years. But are you not worried about the shape and the fitness of Alfredo Morelos? when he's fit and he's looking good and he's on top of his game, he is a terrific player. As I said earlier on in the show, no one has scored more goals in Europe for Rangers than Alfredo Morelos. But he's not going to score goals in the shape he's in just now.
Right, that's very true, but you need kind of any player that's been out for about roughly 4, 5, 6 months that comes back straight away and always looks match sharp than the rest of it. It'll take Alfredo a couple of games to get his match sharpness back and to get his fitness back up. Now, bear in mind, he had missed kind of quite a few months after the tail end of last season. Obviously, you know, he's missed pre-season, and I think he's played about three games or so this season, so he's been out for a long time. So that match sharpness, I mean, you know, Gordon knows, I mean, Marvin knows, everybody knows that sharpness will come back, but it'll take a couple of games.
Problem is, though, it takes longer when you can't play the games because you're suspended, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't think it's all down to match sharpness. I get that comes and goes, but I think, you know, players being fit and ready now, you know, especially at the top clubs, you know, Celtic and Rangers will have the best sports science departments you could think of, you know, so. Look at Kyogo, for example. You know, he was out for a long, long time at Celtic. He came back. I'm not saying he was match sharp straight away, but he looked fit. You know, he was able to play. He was able to go out there and contribute to the team. I think Morales is so important to Rangers Football Club. You know, they need him to be fit. They need him raring to go. And like you said, Scott, you know, it's one sending off in nearly 3 years. So it's not about the red card. I just think, you know, when his opportunities do come, Cholak is doing so well at this moment in time. He needs to be able to take them, and to be able to take them, he needs to be fit and ready.
Scott, we're doing pretty well. I think that's 2 minutes you've been on, and not really much about the referee. I can tell you're desperate, though. Take it away.
What I was about to say now, I'm sure this happened now. Roger probably knows better than me, but it was not about 10, 12 years ago that we brought in foreign referees.
Oh gee, remember that, Roger Hannah?
I do. They came in from, was it Israel, Malta, Cyprus, Malta, yeah. Lithuania? They came from all over.
No, as you see me personally, just see this season. I'm not just talking about Rangers games. I.e., Don Robertson at Livingston, absolute joke. Obviously, kind of what I call him yesterday. Now, there's been instances. I mean, obviously, in the boy yesterday with Ross County, that was wild, that tackle. But there's been kind of quite a few games. You know, like I say, it's not just Rangers or Celtic. You know, there's been a few other teams. See, to be honest, I actually feel as if that maybe, you know what, a good boot up the backside by getting in a kind of couple of foreign refs, just like we did, you know, 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was, you know, give them a kind of couple of rounds of games. So then the refs will watch the game and they'll think, well, wait a minute, I would have did that, I would have did this. It's to give them that kind of proverbial boot up the backside.
Marvin, is that a solution?
No, not for me. I definitely agree that some of the decisions, you know, across the board this weekend, you know, weren't up to scratch. And I think the referees would be the first to admit that. But start talking about bringing in referees from, you know, foreign countries doesn't mean it's going to be any better. Look at the referee that Rangers had away to Union.
I was just going to say that. You've stolen my thunder. I hope we don't bring that guy in. The guy that looked at Conor Goldson's handball not only once, but got a second look on VAR and still thought it was a handball. He gets brought in. We'll get calls talking about how hopeless he is. This notion that the grass is always greener.
It's definitely not. You know, I think our referees need more help. VAR's coming in, which is absolutely perfect. You know, I think with them not being full-time is another thing. You know, can we start introduce full-time referees now? It's a big league. We've got teams doing well in European football now as well. So I think, you know, we had to invest some money into the infrastructure and get these referees to be full-time because they do need more help. But, you know, as you said, Scott, some of the decisions that we saw across the weekend, you know, weren't acceptable.
I hate criticising the referees. And, you know, we laugh at Daz because Daz always defends them. But
yeah, he's phoned in sick for tomorrow already.
But, you know, when was a Scottish official last at a major tournament? When did a Scottish official last get a major European club fixture?
I think that would be the part-time. Does the part-time element come into that? I mean, I think, you know, they have been refereeing in European competitions for the last few years, have they not?
But not at a really high level. And, you know, you wonder as well, those guys like Bobby Madden have just walked away from it, Scottish refereeing and thing. You just wonder, you know, what is actually going on there. And
I would not even attempt to defend any of the bad decisions from the weekend. You couldn't. It's been a terrible weekend. That's why everyone feels so strongly. But, you know, this idea that there is a silver bullet to fix it all, is that a bit naive, you know? Because we speak about VAR and we speak about full-time refs, and I'm sorry if Eddie and East Kilbride's listening, but we all watch English football. We said it earlier on, Kieran Trippier, same tackle as John Lundstrom, the full-time ref gave it as a red card, the same as Willie Collum did. VAR helped him out. Where are we? It's the 22nd of August, and already there have been some laughable VAR decisions in the English Premier League. Guys getting hauled to the floor by their hair and not even getting the decision. Are we not a bit naive to think that it's all about our dud refs and our lack of VAR, and it's all of a sudden we can fix it?
We'd be naive to think VAR equaled perfection. I think VAR will help the game here. Interestingly enough, in the last couple of weeks, I've seen a couple of younger referees. I saw a guy called Chris Graham up at Pittodrie when your boys won there last week, Gordon. And on Saturday, I saw Craig Napier at Perth. I was actually speaking to Fraser Wishart, who, in the way home from the games at the weekend, and I think, now I might get this chap's name wrong, was a lad
McDermid,
that's who it was, who took the Dundee United St Mirren game. And Fraser was saying how well he had done. So there maybe is a new batch of young referees coming through who are going to be superior to the current ones we've been used to for the last 4 or 5 years.
When I saw him pop up on the highlights at the weekend, I realised that only a couple of years ago he refereed a Cash for Kids game between the staff in here and the staff at the local Asda. And I thought, good on him, because he's gone up in the world since following Mark Wilson around with his bright red face one night at Ravenscraig. But there we go. Right, Scott thinks foreign refs could be a solution. What do you think? I think all the solutions are getting thrown in, all the usuals. Thank you to Scott and Broxburn. Ian's in the city centre. Ian, what's your point tonight?
My point is that I think generally, I don't know about Europe, but I think in Britain certainly the standard of refereeing is really, really poor. I think it was one of the low league managers in England said he was thinking about chucking it because the refereeing was that poor. I mean, it is becoming an absolute joke, but I'm 100% serious. I think Wally Collum is an absolute joke. He's incompetent. He can't do his job properly. Everybody's talking about Morelos, getting rid of Morelos. I know it's a completely different thing for what he done, but what happens to Wally Collum when he gives a ridiculous decision like he did against John Lundstrom? And in my opinion, that cost Rangers 2 points in that game. And it's not just Rangers, it's Celtic. It's every game he plays, they seem to speak about Wally Collum, or you're waiting on him doing something crazy. And he never seems to let you down. I think he should be dropped down to the lower leagues. How far, I don't know, but he should be dropped down for a season until he gets his act together.
We did a joke, Roger, the weekend, you know, before any of the big decisions, we were, I was saying, oh, well, he's a showman, he's an entertainer. And you kind of feel like maybe I meant it, you know, like when you look back on it. We've just covered it. What I really like about the callers tonight is they're all actually acknowledging, by the way, I saw that mistake for Ross County, and I saw this. So it's not the usual, look, there's been a few suggestions of bias, but a fairly good spread. But although all refs can make mistakes, there does seem to be a performative element to when Willie Collum does it. Is that unfair?
No. I think when he gets that red card out, he does it with more of a flourish than any of his refereeing colleagues. He certainly does it quicker than any of his refereeing colleagues. And sometimes I just think, I think it looks better for referees, even if they've got in their head, right, I think that's a red card, just give yourself a second, 2 seconds. Go and speak to your linesman, even if you're not going to consider his opinion. It looks as if you're giving it a wee bit more time and a wee bit more consideration, rather than this mad rush to flourish the card and get people sent off. So you were right, and I was actually nodding in the show on Saturday when you were saying that. And before anyone phones in, I don't think, and I've never thought, any bias or anything among referees. I don't think anyone's biased towards Rangers or biased towards Celtic or biased towards Motherwell, even if they live there. I just think some of the decisions, they're just awful.
Yeah, I mean, Marv, look, I get it. People feel passionately about it, and it's just funny because you go back to Robbie Nielsen's comments, for instance, about, you know, Celtic had X amount of fouls and no cards, and we had X amount of fouls and, you know, loads of cards. And we said earlier, like, that in itself doesn't prove much. And I had a laugh when, to myself, I'm easily amused, when I saw the ever excellent Pian Bovril on Twitter talking about, they had a league table and it was every team and the number of fouls they've committed per card this season. Now, top of the table, by some distance, by the way, is Aberdeen. it takes Aberdeen 11 fouls to get a card this season. Now, you just know that nobody's phoning this show to say that there's a pro Aberdeen bias.
It's funny you say that, because I was covering the Aberdeen game at Perth on Saturday. There were five bookings in the game, and they were all for St Johnson. Now, you look at that and you think, that's really odd.
But no one bats an eyelid, because this is Planet Scotland.
When you assess it, all the five bookings were justified.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of a challenge by an Aberdeen player that merited a booking.
And that's perfectly natural, because that's how football games can go. And but our problem is, if you view everything in your life through the prism of Celtic and Rangers, you will lead yourself down these garden paths and think that everyone's out to get you.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying, and I do agree with that. But I've just had a thought in terms of referees, and I think a lot of the frustration comes because, you see, if the referees came out afterwards and gave an interview and said, you know what, I gave Lundstrom, for example, because speaking about that tackle, a red card because I thought this.
I thought his studs caught the calf of John Lundstrom.
Yeah, cause then at least you understand, you know.
Martin Boyle. Sorry.
Yeah, what's being said, and, you know, you kind of understand it from kind of their viewpoint, and you might not agree with it, but you say, do you know what, I see what the referee's saying, etc.
Do you think it would help? Because I think what you hear, that the objection to that is that people will only be interested in what they've got to say when there's the perception that they made a mistake. You know, it'll be almost this like, oh, go on then, come on, explain that. The whole country thinks you got that wrong. And it becomes more about pointing the blame rather than it being a generally consistent process that, you know, that happens. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. But it needs to be after every single game. You know, and let's be honest, you know, we're having a laugh and a joke about it. Referees do get, you know, some things right, and they make some tough decisions, and you know, they do some good things in the game. So we're not here to say, you know, referees and assistant referees don't do anything right. But I just think the frustration comes sometimes when you see some of the tackles that have happened over the weekend, and you know, you never get any answers to them. You know, you can send an email if you're a football club and you'll get back, oh, you know, yes, we agree with that or we disagree with that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you've still lost a point. You've still lost 3 points, whatever it might be. It doesn't help you any further down the line.
Ian's core points, Roger, again, it's the bingo cards out tonight. It's this notion that refs should be dropped down or whatever. You know, Morelos will be suspended. Why won't Willie call him? Is that an actual solution to driving up standards, or is that just a blame game?
I know what you mean. This is always the cry when something like this happens, you know, dump them down into the Championship for a week, or Marv would have them in the Lowland League for a week, you know.
And then what? Because, I mean, based on this weekend, what we're relegating about four of the refs, apparently, from this weekend. So
you've got your qualifications.
You won't see any difference this weekend, because I think the way the SFA do it...
Hypothetically.
You know, they send out their weeks in advance, a few weeks in advance. You would like to think, and the SFA will never tell you. You know, I've always spoken in this show about the need for transparency and let people know what happens, because it would save a lot of problems if you actually told people what was happening. Now, I suspect that over the last however many years you want to go back, that there have been instances of referees who have made high profile errors, maybe 3 or 4 weeks down the line after they've done the other games that have been allocated to them. They probably do get put down to a Championship or a League One game. Just taking out the public glare, if you like.
That's my point. I think
the SFA would never tell you that.
Is that not understandable? Do we really need a situation where the SFA issue a statement on a Monday and say, breaking, Willie Collum will referee Brechin v Devrinvale next week as a result of... What does that do other than, you know, fuel the fire?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. You know, they don't need to come out and say anything. But if they are going to, you know, demote the referees and the assistant referees, I hope they're helping them along with the process, saying this is the reason we're doing it. You know, we think you've made this wrong, etc., etc.
It's flying along tonight. Thank you, Ian. It was nice to speak to you. 0141 951 1025. I've got this wild idea. Hear me out. If you want to talk about your team's actual football performance at the weekend, we could. We'll try it. Right, we'll try it next. Let's see how we go.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's the kind of mad Monday night the Clyde One Super Scoreboard was made for. Lots of talking points after the weekend, so please get your calls in. A joke before the break, although perhaps it was not a joke, and it'll come back to bite me. If anyone actually wants to talk about, you know, like football performances, whether their team played well or not, and whether it was there were other things to consider other than the ref.
What were the results of the weekend? I've sort of missed them.
It has that feel about it. I mean, it's good to know, though, that there's a broad spectrum here. James Gallagher says the ref was a joke at Capello on Saturday, and the linesman wasn't any better. Well, listen, we might as well battle them all while we're at it. And of all the solutions we've heard, you know, VAR, full-time refs, foreign refs, John Fallon says, bring back Bobby Madden. There we go. It didn't take as long. long for him.
We could always, rather than demote the referees, why don't we bring three of them in here at the weekend in a sort of job swap? You know, this weekend we've got the Mark Wilson derby at Tannadice, Dundee United Celtic.
He did a bit of referee training thing.
So Mark Wilson in charge. Get Daz. Kilmarnock versus Motherwell. Daz in charge.
He's
a fit man. And then that would leave Rangers and Ross County.
Hugh could do that, couldn't he?
Yeah. Well, listen. Dallas, why not a few Kevins?
You'll be up to speed with the modern equipment. Can you get screw in studs and hush puppies?
Nah, not yet. It's coming.
Into that for him at the weekend. Right, Sam is a Celtic fan in the south side. What have you got for us tonight, Sam?
Hi guys, how you doing? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You'll be glad to know I'm in to talk about referees again.
Yes, why not?
As always tonight. So it's just with regards to Robbie Nielsen's comments at the weekend following the Celtic Hearts game. In general, I thought the game was pretty fair. Didn't think there were too many refereeing decisions that were kind of out there, a bit bizarre or whatever. That including the two second yellows for the Hearts players. So for after the game, for Robbie Nielsen to kind of come out and say his comments that he needs a strong referee when you come to places like Parkhead, and then kind of bringing up the goal fouls tally compared to yellow cards for both teams, I feel like he's kind of opening up a door there for comments from elsewhere to come in, commenting on things within the game that actually didn't happen. Just with regards to the bookings that Hearts received. I mean, I think one of the bookings that Hearts got, Liam Boyce, Joe Hearts went to take a goal kick and he's thrown the ball away. I mean, that's a yellow card all day long. The two first bookings for the boy Civic and I believe Cochran, both yellow cards all day long, late challenges, and then obviously the second yellows as well. Absolutely second yellows all day long. So I just feel his comments after the game weren't really helpful, didn't really reflect the way the referee played. I just wanted to know what your kind of thoughts on it were.
Yeah, do you know what, just in case anyone hasn't heard, let's play a bit of Robbie Nielsen and try and add some context, Sam, just in case people don't know what you're on about.
First of all, I was very, very proud of the players. I thought we made a number of changes and, you know, it showed the strength in the squad that the guys came in and came here and matched Celtic for a long period, created a number of chances, and you know, if it wasn't for, you know, two red cards, we'd probably potentially take something for the game. But you know, Celtic are a very good team, you've got to give them credit, they'll control a lot of the game, but I thought we matched them for long periods.
Frustrating late in the game, getting a couple of red cards, a couple of suspensions.
You know, when you come here you need strong referees, and you know, if you don't get that then it can be difficult at times. You know, we made 11 fouls, get two red cards and 5 bookings. Celtic made 12 fouls and they get nothing, you know, so that's the difficulty when you come to Glasgow, that you need, you know, that strength, and I don't think we had it today.
Those comments open a can of worms, says Sam in the south side. Roger, would you agree or disagree?
Well, listen, there are comments that I've heard Robbie Nielsen saying before when he comes to Glasgow. You need a strong referee, etc, etc.
I think mostly the bit about the correlation between fouls and cards. I think that's the bit that Sam's on about.
Well, I've just said to you, I was at St Johnson Aberdeen. St Johnson, 5 bookings, Aberdeen, 0 bookings. That's just the way the game went. You know, and another day, it could be 5 Aberdeen bookings and none to St Johnson. And, you know, sometimes that's the way it goes. Every game you go to, Gordon, it's not 3 bookings a side or a red card per side. Sometimes that's just the way it is, because that's the way the fouls go and that's the severity of the fouls. And I think that's what happened at Celtic Park.
I think the spotlight's been put more specifically, though, because I don't know what the foul tally was between St Johnson and Aberdeen, but Robbie Nielsen's, like I say, drawing a direct link, a correlation between fouls committed and bookings. Even though Sam's just mentioned one, Liam Boyce's was for throwing the ball away, Sam says. So that would be a good example of why you can't draw it. What if another one's for dissent and another one's for something else?
Exactly. Like, you can't do it. And I get it, you know, emotions are high after the game, and you know, Robbie said what he said, and Sam's came on here and articulated himself perfectly. You know, he's described the bookings and why they are bookings. And like you said, you can't say just because a team's had 11 fouls they should be booked, because sometimes, you know, it could be a shoulder barge to the back or something like that. That's not a bookable offence. You know, I get the frustrations that Robbie has, but you know, I can't agree with him on this one.
It's funny you say that, Roger, because again, I refer back to that table that Pye and Bovril tweeted today. Apparently bottom of that league would be St Johnson. They get a card every 3.5 fouls. I'm not sure we'll get Callum Davidson on to suggest there's an anti-St Johnson conspiracy out there, will we?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Look, if you're going to have a table like that, somebody's going to be top,
exactly.
And somebody's going to be bottom of it. And you can read into that anything you like.
Sam, go on, right. This is the last comment of the first hour. We've had nothing, next to nothing, about performances and players and all the rest of it. How did the game go yesterday?
With relation to Celtic, I thought Celtic played okay. First half, I think we were kind of always in control of it. Second half, maybe a wee bit less so, when Hearts started to bring on players like Shankland and things like that, Barry Mackay. But over the course of it, I don't really think Hearts looked as if they were ever causing Celtic too many problems. I mean, I don't even think they registered a shot on target, not to my memory anyway. Celtic were a bit wasteful, could have had a couple more, but yeah, I think a 2-0 result by and large kind of is probably the correct result.
Good man, Sam, it was nice to speak to you. That was Sam in the South Side. Hopefully we'll do that again. Some good points well made. I know someone who would take a 2-0 win tonight, that's for sure.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's not Roger Hannah, for goodness sake. He wouldn't settle for such mediocrity, but Marvin Bartley.
Oh, yes, I would.
Needs all the help he can get. 01419511025. Are you still unbeaten this season?
Yeah, I am. That's what I was going to say. Give me some credit, please.
He's actually in. He's got his game face on. He's here with his Livingston track. He's actually got his Livingston tracksuit on. Absolute
straight
embarrassment wearing that
straight
after getting
work.
Defeated at the home of football at the weekend.
Nothing would make me happier than if a man called John McCrossan phoned in to do Beat the Pundit against Marvin.
Come on, John, let's do it. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Put you right in your place.
That would be
you
brilliant.
Deserve
we could
that.
Have a laugh.
01419511025. Your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hannah are here at 01419511025. We have tried to get through some of the refereeing decisions from the weekend. Marvin's let loose on the one that cost Livingston in his mind. I've just not yet told him that Motherwell should have had another penalty in that game, and these things even themselves out. So we'll maybe get to that, which will be good fun. And if there's anyone else out there who wants to whinge about refs and get it all off their chest, fine, let's do it. It's all good fun, up to a point. And also, let's try and talk actual football. What did you make of your team's performance at the weekend? Let us know.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Marvin Bartley's not lost all season. Roger Hannah's not lost in about 2 years. Let's see what Craig and Kilmarnock can deliver tonight. Craig, how are you?
Not bad.
Have you ever played before?
No.
Okay, avoid Roger Hannah, that would be my advice, but you don't get the choice. So toss the coin. Heads, it will be Roger. Tails, it will be. Look at the state of this guy.
Come on,
Roger.
I just want to make sure it's fair.
You don't get that type of behaviour from Gordon DL or Hugh Keevan. Civilised gentleman.
Hugh can't see over the screens, that's why.
And Gordon's never been described as a gentleman in his life either.
No.
Heads, he's on his, for those who can't see, because this is radio and that's the way it works, Marvin is straining his calves. He's on his tiptoes to make sure I don't lie about the coin.
But heads is who? Who's heads?
Roger.
Okay, perfect.
That side of the studio is always heads, okay? That's heads.
I'm absolutely buzzing. Roger, do your thing, buddy.
Sorry, Craig. Let's give Roger some Clyde 2 so that he can hear what's going on. You've got 30 seconds, Craig. Just answer as many as you can. And as always, you're welcome to pass and move on if you don't know, okay?
Yep.
Good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. In what year was James Tavernier named Rangers captain?
2017.
How many Celtic centre-backs have scored in the league this season?
2.
Name any player to receive a red card in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend.
Ross Callaghan.
Apart from Celtic, who are the only SPFL side on maximum league points? Name the most recent sponsors of the Scottish Cup. Okay. Let's bring back Roger. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I've got you.
Same set of questions, shall we?
Yep.
Let's go. In what year was James Tavernier named Rangers captain?
2018.
How many Celtic centre-backs have scored in the league this season?
3.
Name any player to receive a red card in the Scottish Premiership over the weekend.
Morelos.
Apart from Celtic, who are the only SPFL side on maximum league points?
Oh, Dumbarton.
Name the most recent sponsors of the Scottish Cup.
William Hill.
What was the score the last time Celtic and Rangers played a League Cup final? Quickly.
1-0 to Celtic.
Okay, Craig, what's the verdict?
I don't know. I was too slow, I think.
So was Gordon.
Were you going through?
Look at who was ready.
No, don't bite.
Well, you got through more questions than Craig, so it would be a strange time to point that finger. In what year was James Tavernier named Rangers captain? 2018. Roger got it, Craig didn't. So that's your level, because you do of course start on -1. How many Celtic centre-backs have scored in the league this season? Moritz Jens has scored, Carl Starfelt scored, Stephen Welsh has scored. It's 3, Craig, I'm afraid. Craig went 2, Roger moves 1 in front. Easiest question of all time. In case you haven't heard, John Lundstrom was sent off, Alfredo Morelos, Ross Callaghan, Alex Cochrane, Toby Sibbick, and
he's at you.
Dylan. I wasn't playing today.
Are you joking me?
No, who was it?
One of your
hey.
Come on.
Dylan. Ballambula?
You know better than me, right? Okay, so you both got that right. So I'm afraid it's a 3 minus is 1. So 2-1 to Roger at this point. Apart from Celtic, the only SPFL side on maximum league points is Dumbarton, Craig. I told you he's a sad wow. act. He knows everything. The most recent sponsors of the Scottish Cup. I'm angry at producer Chris for doing this to me. I mean, it is William Hill, but I think they did bring in a sponsor for like the semis and final last year. What was the company called? Was it KDM or something?
Never.
Anyway, and I think that's what it was called. Anyway, but we'll accept William Hill. The score the last time Celtic and Rangers played the League Cup final was 1-0 Celtic, Christopher Julian's goal. We had a few calls about the referee that night as well, if memory serves me. So it's a 100% record for Roger Hanna, Craig. You can't really do much about that, can you?
No.
Apart from hope that he gets out more. Right, so
don't worry, Craig, I'll be getting out more. I've got new neighbours.
Stop it. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me in front of the nation.
Did you know this, Marv?
No.
Oh yeah. Yeah, new, I've got new neighbours.
Gordon will be making dinner then, right?
I've left Gordon DL for John.
You got nothing in the world.
Oh dear. It's tragic. Anyway, well, you know what we do. If you get them all right, we go and see if you can get the 10. Roger Hanna, ready?
Okay, yeah.
Name any Scottish team David Weir played for before Rangers.
Hearts.
Who's currently bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Arbroath.
In what decade did Aberdeen last win the Scottish top flight?
The 80s.
Name any host country of the 2026 World Cup.
The USA.
10 out of 10, that man.
Oh wow.
Got to take your hat off to him.
You do.
Honestly, sad.
He's a bigger minus. I thought it was -2 before.
That's a good idea. And you're like,
No. They tried this nonsense once, Marvin.
And he lost.
Oh, I was it.
We tried it once on -2 and he actually it backfired spectacularly.
Okay, so you're going back to -1.
Like, come on, if he's knocking out 10 out of 10s like
he's
that.
He's too good. That's not fair. We need to do something about this. And I'll have a -1.
Alright, you're not ready for that yet. No chance. Absolutely no chance. Okay. 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get your calls in, please. Let us know what is on your mind. Very quickly, go on then, we'll try it. Morelos, Lundstrom, penalties, Bashiri, I get all that. Rangers drop points and now Celtic have the early advantage. What do you make of that?
It's early doors, isn't it? Very, very early in the league. If you're going to drop points, you know, probably the perfect time to do it. I don't think Rangers will be too worried about that. I think it was always a difficult game going to Easter Road, let alone going down to 9 men. A huge game on Wednesday as well, that the players, they're only human. You know, they had one eye on that for sure. That's the biggest game for them, you know, within the last kind of 7 days since the first leg. But yeah, as I said, Rangers won't be too worried about that. If they can get to the Champions League, bring a little bit more money in, I'm sure they'll make another one or two signings, and you know, they'll be full steam ahead for the league title after that.
I think we've managed to convince one Rangers fan to give us a brief thought on the performance, Roger. And that one fan said he thought Rangers were comfortable, he thought they were decent, and basically that putting words in the mouth, but it was the ref that swayed it. At the weekend, you know, when we opened the lines on Saturday, there was a bit more criticism about Rangers' performance from Rangers fans and the failings on the pitch.
I didn't think they were great. I don't think Celtic were great yesterday either, though that needs to be said. And listen, Marv, we could stand here and say, oh, you know, we've been the doom mongers and Rangers are 2 points behind and they've got to go to Celtic Park, you know, and they could be 5 points behind by the first weekend of September. But think back 12 months, Celtic lost three of the first six games last season and then won the league by 5 points. So we're very, very early in the campaign. Rangers did blink first, as I think we said on Saturday, of the two Old Firm sides. But there's plenty of time for them to come back.
01419511025 is the phone number you need. Twitter is at Clyde SSB as well. Let's see who's first up, first through after Beat the Pundit. I think it's James in Stirling. How's it going, James?
Ah, not bad. Good evening, panel.
Hello.
Hi, James.
Right, okay, I've got a couple of points here I've written them down for. So I'm going to cover the bookings, the referees, VAR, and then the performance that you're...
Absolutely, take it away.
Okay, so the bookings. I watched the Rangers game, and for me, Morelos, yeah, definite red card, silly challenge. Lundstrom, as far as I'm concerned, that is something that you'll need to look at, because where he made the challenge in the park, there was absolutely no need for it. He should have stayed on his feet and tracked the player. They were deep into the second, into the opponent's half, and I think it was just a silly challenge to be making at that point. So I can understand if the referee's maybe not sighted it and has thought he has really quicked him and deliberate foul, you know. So that could have went either way. As far as looking then at the referees are concerned, I think some of the players should be at least told before they go out the reputation of certain referees, if they're going to be a bit card happy for certain things, too quick to bring it out, you know, and try and at least then, because you're not going to, not all referees are going to act exactly the same. So I think a wee bit more awareness for the players there, just not to get sent off for silly little things, you know.
You would like to think, though, James, that they're all trying to just uphold the rules. I mean, I know there will be stats that show that some refs give more cards than others, but you know, does John Lundstrom, does he really have time, or whoever it is, really have time to think, right, I might slide here, hold on, oh, it's Willie Collum, so I won't, is that really going to take place?
No, I think maybe if they're warned before they go out in the park, look, Willie will get a red card if you do something silly like that. But as far as then, when it comes to the performance of Rangers, I don't think it was necessary for them to be making that challenge in that area of the park, to be honest with you.
It's interesting, you know, because like, James is a Rangers fan, for what it's worth, and everyone doesn't need to be Rangers fans. All the pundits all think John Lundstrom hard done by. It's the first mild criticism we've heard of John Lundstrom, but I want that you look, you'll know more than me. Could he have caught Martin Boyle?
No.
And that's why he does
isn't it?
And James wants him to track him, but easier said than done.
Yeah, I get what James is saying, but you know, next minute Martin Boyle's on the edge of your box and you're thinking, why don't John Lundstrom stop him higher up the pitch and take the booking for it, which it should have been. You know, you see players putting other players back when these sorts of things happen. You see players sliding in to try and stop them. That for me cannot be a red card. You know, and I said it earlier, and those tackles, I made so many of those tackles in my career. And as I said, if I was playing centre midfielder with John, I would have said, you know, well done for stopping the counter-attack. It's only when the red card was produced, everyone starts to think, wow, how's he been sent off for that? So I get what you're saying, James, but honestly, in that sort of area, I think 10 times out of 10, you know, managers would even be saying to you, like, just stop them, just stop the counter-attack at that point before they get closer to our goal. And like you said, Martin Bull was in zone defending half. For me, it could have never have been a red card. And, you know, there's not many players in the league, if anyone's going to catch Martin Bull when he gets into full flight.
I'll do the boring bit, Roger. I'll get the rule book out, because that's, like I said, that's what refs have to be holding every challenge up against. Actually, you know, the comparisons with Jake Doyle Hayes or with anyone else, interesting for us. But in the moment, Willie Collum can't really be thinking about Jake Doyle Hayes. He needs to be thinking about the kind of checklist and the rules. So what would have got John Lundstrom sent off is a serious foul play offence, a tackle or a challenge that endangers the safety of an opponent or uses excessive force or brutality must be sanctioned a serious foul play. So any player that lunges from the front side or from behind using one or both legs with excessive force or endangering the safety of the opponent. So it did none of that for you?
No.
And you as well, Marvin Barley.
And neither did the Doyle Hayes win. Now, we're drawing comparisons. Now, if Willie believes that the Lundstrom challenge ticked some of the boxes that you've just mentioned,
it's why didn't.
Then the Doyle Hayes challenge ticked the same boxes. It's the consistency. I would be less annoyed with the whole thing, actually, if he'd sent the two of them off or had, you know, had booked the two of them, because the consistency is, it's just a glaring lack of consistency.
Let's try and not make this about John Lundstrom or Rangers or Hibs or Celtic or whatever for a minute. I do wonder, is football heading in a direction that tackle might be a red card in the future? I mean, I know Willie Collum gave it as one. We all watch that now because we watch football for a long time, and you see it and you think, no, that's not a red. Do you think that are we moving towards a time when that threshold changes, just because the nature of the, I don't know, I know they've tried to take intent out of it, haven't they? But you get where I'm going with that. That sort of, you're never getting the ball, you kick someone.
It's a really good point. I think it was Jamie Carragher made that point last night on TV, that there will come a day.
I was busy moving house, I didn't see it.
Well, they'll come a day very soon when that challenge, he was using the Trippier on De Bruyne, man.
Yeah.
When that challenge is a straight red card.
But that shows you
the point you're making, Gordon.
That shows you at this moment in time, though, it shouldn't be deemed a red card, because they went to VAR, the referees re-looked at it, got it wrong, and given it as a yellow card. So that shows at this moment in time, I get what you're saying, in the future it might be going that way, but at the moment it should be a yellow card.
Oh yeah, listen, that was just my own curiosity. Yeah. I wasn't suggesting John Lundstrom should have been sent off. James, the madness of all this is it's 20 past seven, Rangers got a penalty to set them on their way, Hibs felt like they should have had one, and we've not even got to them yet. So as a Rangers fan, what do you think of them? Was Rangers a penalty? Should Hibs have had one? Oh, he's gone right in the moment. You two can answer the question for him.
Well, I said in the show on Saturday I didn't think either were penalties.
You didn't?
No. I think you'd actually made the comment, I was driving to, it wasn't until I got to Perth that I saw the two of them, and you'd made the comment, Gordon, that it's a contact sport. Does every contact have to be a foul? Well, no, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
There was contact between Bashiri and Colak. I didn't think there was enough contact to merit a penalty.
It's a really interesting one, Marvin, because that, a lot of people might feel that way, but he does also obviously put his arms round Colak, and why has he done that? You know, so.
Yeah. Good job I'm not your assistant referee, because I'd have been flagging for both of those to be given as penalties. So
really?
You'd have to make, yeah.
Both, okay.
I think both.
So Hibs have been hard done by there then?
Yeah, well, I think both are penalty kicks. I think the Rocky one, as you said, you know, he puts his arms around him, and people are now saying, oh, the ball is going back to Marshall. I get that. But as a defender, sometimes you act off instinct. The ball goes past Rocky, thinks, wow, I need to stop the striker for a split second. That's enough to stop him, you know, going on his way. Was there much contact? No, it wasn't a great deal, but for me, it's still a penalty kick, and the same in the other
ball. The comment I made on Saturday was, there's more contact between Colak and Bashiri at every single corner or every single free kick than there was then. And also, what's the difference between what Tavernier was doing to Bashiri compared to what Paul Hanlon was doing to Tavernier behind
him? Is that not the problem then, Marvin? Because
the second one.
Does the presence of Paul Hanlon
on his shoulder,
does that somehow make what James Tavernier's doing not a penalty? That was sort of the view that Dermot Gallagher took on Sky Sports today. I watched it, and he was, you know, essentially saying that, you know, that they're all at it and therefore it's not.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously he's a qualified referee, and obviously refereed at the top level, but
it's never stopped you criticising them before.
That's true. I can't afford another fine. But no, I do think that they were both penalties. I get, you know, Paul Hanlon was on Tavernier's shoulders, which obviously, you know, knocked onto him pulling down Rocky. But I think, you know, once you give him the first one, for me, that they're both penalty kicks. You know, Roger, as I said, if I was your assistant referee, I'd have been flagging wildly.
John is in Falkirk. Take it away, John. What's your point tonight?
Hi. Just listened to you talking about the John Lundstrom thing.
Yes.
Talking about serious foul play. And I'm quite aghast, actually, to be honest. Have you never actually considered violent conduct as an offence?
Yeah, but that's when a player's not challenging for the ball, isn't it? I mean, he wasn't sent off for violent conduct. It was for serious foul play.
And do you know that? Like, have you spoken to the referee?
I don't tend to phone Willie Collum personally.
Well, exactly. So you're making an assumption. So there's two options. As a former referee, there's two options you have.
Yeah.
Serious foul play, mm-hmm. serious foul play, or violent conduct. Now, if you just look at what you did, it's basically a physical assault.
Oh, come on, John. Right. And I bow to your superior knowledge. You've made it very clear that as a former ref, you will know much more about these things than we do. But in my humble understanding, my layman's understanding, the difference would be violent conduct is when a player is not challenging for the ball. So it's essentially an off the ball incident. John Lundstrom's was not violent conduct.
I'm going to go with John for a minute, right? See, John, just playing devil's advocate, see, John is correct, and that is a red card, right? Just stay with me here. Say John is correct and John Lundstrom is a red card. Fair enough. So therefore, why is Jake Doyle-Hayes, Ross Callaghan and Kieran Trippier not red cards?
Because I'll tell you why. Because every single law of the game begins with in the opinion of the referee, and thereafter it's up to interpretation. So therefore, the one man that really counts on the field that day is the referee, and he made his opinion. And in his opinion, the Hibs player did not deserved to go off, but in his opinion, he saw the tackle by John Lundstrom as being something that deserved a red card. And until you have the referee to come out and explain his decision, then you can talk about it all you want.
Yeah, but John, violent conduct, you know, that's when the use of excessive force or brutality, how could anyone think, and like I say, when it's not challenging for the ball, so fine, of course everything's open to interpretation, but how could you or anyone else interpret that as being more likely to be violent conduct than it is serious foul play?
Okay, then let me go back to somebody else who does a headbutt. Look, did they get sent off?
Yeah, because it's off the ball. You're not challenging for the ball when you stick your face into someone else's face, are you?
I honestly don't know where you read all this stuff. I don't know where you read all this stuff. These are just interpretations and guidelines.
Well, just the IFAB rules of football, that's what I've got in front of me. I don't know if that's the right place. You may be able to point me to somewhere more reliable.
Well, it's interpretations of it.
No, I get that, but it's also in black and white that violent conduct is when a player uses excessive force or brutality against an opponent when not challenging for the ball. So that would be your headbutt. So you've just tried to liken a headbutt to John Lundstrom's tackle. And John, I appreciate it's all about opinions, but that to me seems quite factual.
Okay then, can I stop you there? You actually made the assumption that John Lundstrom was a tackle. I don't think that was a tackle.
Yeah, no, you said it was an assault.
Yeah, it was. It was a physical assault. If you look back at it, there was no way he was getting the ball. He didn't even go for the ball, so it's not a tackle. It wasn't a tackle. He decided to take the player out from the rear, and that's all he did. It was a physical assault. For me, it's violent conduct.
I'm with you here, John. So should Jake Doyle-Hayes have been sent off?
Well, I wasn't talking about that.
I know you weren't, but I am now. Would you have said, if you're sending off Lundstrom, should Jake Doyle-Hayes also have been sent off?
I'm trying to remember the incident.
It's very, very similar to the assault that John Lundstrom carried out.
No, it's not actually. I'm actually remembering it now. I would say no, he didn't deserve to be sent off, no.
Have you seen the one at Ross County?
Nope, not seen that one.
So what about, if you remember Jake Doyle-Hayes, what was less severe about his in comparison to John Lundstrom's?
But then you see, you're missing the point.
No, John, you're quite blatantly just avoiding the question. You've just said that John Lundstrom should have been sent off and Jake Doyle-Hayes shouldn't. So I'm asking you to just explain it for us, because you are the former ref, we are not. So what would the... Why is that of a lesser severity?
No, I never said that. What I said was that Willie Collum was correct in giving the red card to John Lundstrom, and he was correct and giving the yellow card to the other player.
That's what. So therefore, it was a less severe tackle by Jake Doyle-Hayes, and I'm just asking you simply to point out what was less severe about it.
Well, I think you're missing my point.
Oh, geez, right, we're going round in circles. Thank you, John. That was an absolute pleasure. 01419511025. Marvin, any thoughts?
I don't know what John was on about there, and he just refused to answer any questions at all. I really do love Scotland and Scottish football. There's some really fantastic characters out there, and John's right up there for me.
You've just said that you used to do that John Lundstrom tackle all the time. So you were a serial Assault,
come on. And I want to say to John, has he ever played the game?
You know, he's a former ref, I'll have you.
Yeah, I know, but has he ever played the game? Because if you think that's an assault, then we're in massive trouble. If
Police Scotland are listening, you'll find Marvin Bartley at Clyde Bank Business Park, 8:05. We'll see you then.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's just Roger Hannah now. Marvin Bartley's been handcuffed and huckled into a van for years of assaulting fellow professionals on the pitch. So he's gone, but Roger Hannah's still here. And if one man can handle the full-time teaser on his own, then it is Roger Hannah. So let's see how we go tonight. It was John Smith, your old adversary, that sent this one in tonight to fulltime at Clyde1.com. Simple enough sounding. Can you name the 12 Stevens currently managing in the top four divisions of Scotland or England?
Steven Gerrard.
For how much longer?
That's interesting.
Well, you shook hands with him on Saturday, I hope. Stephen Hamill.
What a man. Tactical masterclass on Saturday.
And a man you used to say that about, Stephen Robinson.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it there. Pretty simple question. I'm looking for the 12 Stevies or Stevens currently managing in the top four divisions of Scotland or England. Gerrard, Hamill and Robinson so far. We'll get the rest very soon, I hope. Let's speak to Frank, who's on the line as a Celtic fan. What is your point tonight, Frank?
Evening, Gordon. Evening, Roger. Good luck with a new house there, Gordon, by the way.
Oh, thank you. By the way, Marvin is also still here. I was just joking.
Oh, is he still there?
Yeah,
sorry.
It's only a matter of time till he moves around the corner from us as well.
I thought he'd been huckled even, Marvin. Sorry, can't leave you out. I like to think in the years I've been on the phone and I give quite a levelled, honest opinion. And my point to the producer at the start was, I'm like what I'm seeing in Scottish football just now on the field. I think we've got a very strong Celtic team, on team. I think Rangers prove last year with the run to the Europa League final and the squad that they've got under Van Bronckhorst are a good team. Hearts are looking good and hopefully get into the Europa League group stages. We could have two Scottish teams in the Champions League group stages, but at least we'll have three teams in the groups. And I think Scottish football on the pitch is looking good. However, as per the first 90 minutes of the show, I think the real concern is the officiating, and it doesn't just stem from this weekend. It's been all season. There's been absolutely horrendous calls by officials all season long, but this weekend typified it. And I think as an honest fan, you look at Marvin's team. I mean, how a linesman can give a handball decision through a player is baffling. The two tackles up at Ross County were absolute shockers, and Ella Collar made the call. They were career-ending tackles, certainly the second one was. The Hibs-Rangers game, which has got all the sort of attention in the media. Lundstrom was never a red card in a million years, and that's just an honest football opinion. You could have said the Hibs penalty decision could have been a penalty, but the reality is it probably wasn't. The Rangers won. Yeah, the defender gives the referee a decision to make, puts his two hands on him, but he throws himself down like he's been shot. The Celtic game where Robbie Nielsen comes out like the moaner he is, and I have to say, I've said it before in this, I just can't believe some of the stuff that comes out the guy's mouth at times, but the Celtic Hearts game, the worst decision in that full match is not even as I mentioned yet. And you know what I'm going to say if you're watching it? The offside decision against Kyogo in that game was absolutely baffling. He was 2 yards onside. Yes, it eventually dies down and the ball kind of goes out. But it's just a baffling decision. The bookings, the red cards were all bookings. Scottish football just now really needs to have an inquest into the standard of referees and officials.
Is the standard at an all-time low? Or do we need to be mindful of the fact that the scrutiny is at an all-time high?
The scrutiny is at an all-time high, no doubt about it. No matter what you do, this in the public eye, whether it's being a referee, whether it's being a player, manager, coach, whatever else, you know, everyone's got an opinion on things. So there's no doubt about that. I agree, Frank, to a certain extent. I think they need more help. You know, I found it quite surprising that they're not full-time. I think, you know, somewhere we need to find the money to. If we can't make the more experienced ones full-time, because I know they have good jobs alongside it, etc., etc., the young ones who are coming through, You know, can we make, you know, Roger spoke about them earlier, can we make them full-time? You know, can we, if we want to improve our game, if we want to give them the best possible opportunity of bringing in VAR, etc., can we make the younger ones full-time? You know, and again, in years to come, the game will improve. It's a very, very difficult job being a referee, no doubt about it. And, you know, I was laughing and joking earlier, but I do it sometimes in training. And you do get decisions wrong, and that's with no crowd there, with no one on social media saying, or, you know, calling at the radio or pundits on the radio saying, oh, you know, how badly have you got this decision, etc. So it is a very, very difficult job they are doing. I just think they need more help.
I mean, Roger, Frank says the worst decision at Celtic Park yesterday hasn't been discussed, and it was an offside given against Kyogo. Mm. Is that at least, can we take any comfort from the fact that VAR should all pretty much clear those up? You know, we don't really know for sure about Lundstrom or the tackles at Ross County or whatever, because there's that level of interpretation. Hopefully, ones like that or ones like whatever, you know, any other offside, we should be getting close to getting them cleared up.
Yeah, we should. And I've always been in favour of things that help officials get the decision right. Think, you know, things like goal line technology. There's never any doubt now. Ball crashes down off the crossbar, you know, because it clicks in the referee's watch. You know it's a goal or not, and that's helped. Mm. And I think VAR will help. You'll still get, there was a silly one with Odson Edward at the weekend, I think Palace against Villa, where a goal was scored, Edward was involved in the build-up, and the goal got called off because Edward's shoulder or the top of his arm was offside. Mm-hmm. You're going to get ones like that, but as long
ultimately
he's offside. He is. Now, whether we think it's fair or not, ultimately that's the rule. Yeah. He's offside. So I think VAR will clear up things like the Kyogo offside from yesterday.
Just a personal thing, Marvin. I've always managed to kind of make my peace with those because I get it. Yeah. You know what? It's a marginal offside decision. Players can sometimes be moving in opposite directions from each other, and the ref is, or the linesman's having to look at where the ball is and when it's played, and two guys moving in different directions and maybe rocks the bodies. So I get that. And I feel like until we've got VAR, you just need to roll with the punches on them a bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's very, very tough. And, you know, the game's getting quicker by the season as well. So, you know, as annoyed as that decision Frank would be, it is difficult for a linesman in that situation. And I don't want to go back to our game, but I'm just saying, in our one, when the penalty was given, you have to be sure, 100% sure it's hit a player's hand. And that's the ones, I think, that frustrate fans and managers and everyone else in between, because, you know, you can't give those decisions. But I get it. You know, Kyogo won. Yes, he was onside when we slowed it down and it was paused. But for the linesman, it's very difficult. The ball's being played. You're trying to look at two things at once. And, you know, he just deemed it was offside.
Maybe going to open up a whole different discussion here, Frank, but I'll put that same one back to you about scrutiny. Because social media now, every incident's out there. Every incident slowed down. Everyone has seen every incident. As an example, without getting anyone in bother, there are a lot of people who are not Celtic fans that saw that Celtic game yesterday, or saw, you know, lots of it and different. But yes, I know there are highlights, but some of the calls earlier are suggesting they've seen incidents that weren't even part of the highlights package. Technology is opening up all sorts of avenues for decisions to get picked up on. So Frank, I wonder, how sure are you that the standard's worse, and how much of a contributing factor might it be that the intensity of the spotlight that's on it all now?
It's a fair challenge given the advancement in technology, social media, numerous replays. Yeah, I do think that's fair comment. And people are picking up stuff that was never done before. And the other thing is that other people pick up as well as mobile phones in stadiums as well, give you some extra footage and stuff like that. But I do think there's some really horrendous... I'm sure it was Marvin's team up at Aberdeen. There was a penalty or a not penalty in that game that probably the worst decision of the season for me. I'm sure it was somebody get clattered at the edge of the box, and it was the clearest penalty I've seen. It might not have been Livingston, but if it was, Marvin will know the decision I'm talking about. It was horrendous. Like, the guy was totally wiped out and the penalty wasn't given. But anyway,
I don't think it was Livy, because he would be singing and dancing about it.
The other thing I was going to say, I mean, nobody's mentioned the sly flick of the boot that happened before Morales got sent off, that a linesman missed as well. So you're probably right about the attention. I've just typified your argument there by saying that, because that would never have been picked up. But he probably could have got sent off for that for his VAR, never mind swinging his arm 5 minutes later. But yeah, it's a fair comment, and I couldn't argue either way. I just think that this weekend was a real shocker for the guys and the black jerseys. But let's just focus on the good stuff in Scottish football. I think we've got a good product, and lots of good, exciting teams. And let's keep focusing on that maybe rather than these dodgy officials.
Well said. I think it's the new strips. I told you day one of the season, didn't like them. Didn't like the look. Don't like the way they're looking at their work this season. And I think it's having an impact.
You think that's the problem?
Yeah, I think it could be. I think it's something that needs
too much grey. Look what happened to that Man United away strip. Too much grey in them. Yep.
I just don't like it. You've obviously shown your hand about how you feel about the penalty Motherwell got. For what it's worth, most people agree.
Most?
Yeah, I think
so. Who doesn't agree? You?
No,
John McCrossan.
I'll even admit it. It may have been fortunate. But like, you know, and Roger's talking about consistency and fairness. Have you got any comment about Sondre Solholm being pulled down to the ground in the penalty box round about the 82nd minute? I told you the wonders of modern technology. You get to see these.
I've not seen that incident.
How funny that Arsene Wenger over there.
No, for me, that's extremely soft.
Is it?
Yeah, you're appealing for a second penalty in a game.
No, simply proof that these things sometimes even themselves out.
Maybe. I don't think that's a penalty, though.
Just while we're at it, OC. I didn't even tell him who the guilty party was, and he knows.
I know anything from the games.
I didn't even mention.
I'm a student of the game.
I said nothing about Nicky Devlin, and you knew.
He'll be listening as well.
On a serious note, what was the game like? Not much in it, or
no? There wasn't much in it at all. You know, there really wasn't a 0-0. I think would have been fair. I think we had one shot on target, you know, out with kind of the penalty for you guys. I'm not sure there's anything that really tested Shamal in our goal. And like you said, you know, I think that's what the frustration's there, you know, because if Motherwell would have backed
fine margins.
Yeah, you would have accepted it and said, you know what, yes, they got a lucky penalty, but they deserve the win. I think, you know, both managers would agree that a 0-0 would have been fair, and so would the players. So that's where the frustration lies. But I'm done with officials for today. I'm going to start being a nice guy to them.
I suppose if we go all it's a results-driven business on us, Roger, Stevie Hamill's now sitting with a Motherwell team that's got 9 points out of 4 games. And I don't think anyone's suggesting sparkling, magnificent, totally transformational performances, but you've absolutely taken the hand off of that points total after 4 games.
Yeah, and you go to Kilmarnock, no disrespect to Derek McInnes, but you go to a Kilmarnock team currently propping up the Premiership at the weekend, so you will go there in the belief that this good run is going to continue. Sligo already seems quite a long time away if you're a Motherwell supporter, I would suggest. And things are looking better. The way the team is set up seems to suit the players better. They're creating more chances. They're getting the results.
Yeah. Right, quickly, any more Stevens currently managing in England or Scotland? Stevens?
Steve Evans.
Where is he at the moment? Stevenage, well done, good knowledge.
I actually saw him in the telly yesterday. I was doing my ironing, watching Bristol City beat Cardiff.
Ironing your wife, fronts.
Steve Morrison of Cardiff.
Brilliant. Okay, one more, Marv.
Steve Cooper, Nottingham Forest.
Who, sorry?
Cooper, Nottingham Forest.
Steve Cooper of Nottingham Forest. All right, we'll leave that there. Fulltime at Clyde1.com, by the way, if you want to send your answers, send your questions in. We're going to speak to Graham in Bells Hill just after this break, but let me run this past you first.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards Team of the Week with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
Yes, brand new for this season. Every week, one of the pundits selects their team of the week from the weekend's games. It's been a bit of a mad weekend, I'm sure you'll agree. We'll put that team out tomorrow at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You can argue about it in the comments since we don't agree on anything. And thanks to Clyde Built Home Improvements, they're giving you the chance to win a current or retro football kit of your choice at Clyde1.com. We're going to speak to Graham in Bells Hill next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. That is the number Graham and Bells Hill's dialed. What's your point, Graham?
Hi, good evening, panel. First thing I'd like to say is the most positive thing about tonight is the previous caller, John, has cited himself as a former referee and he's no longer a current one. I think unless he's a train conductor, he's never had a whistle in his mouth in his life, to be honest. But that was quite bizarre. But my question to the panel was what you think about the option of having referees speak to the media after a game to perhaps just explain some of the decisions that have came up. Might take a little bit of pressure of, you know, the aftermath of what happens in a game, if they can at least give their side of the story at the time. And also, I wonder if VAR might improve the standards of refereeing, because there's perhaps too much pressure on referees to get it right, and so they're snapping into decisions almost out of fear of getting it wrong. And in fact, knowing in the back of their mind that no matter what, if this is looked at by VAR, the right decision will happen no matter what. It might take the pressure off.
I like that, Roger, because like we've said before, don't expect perfection. You're not getting perfection. You're not getting everyone agreeing. But if we use that one example again, because it's very relevant this weekend, the referee who showed Kieran Trippier a red card, then who's criticising him tonight? Nobody.
Yeah.
But Willie Collins, obviously, in case you hadn't guessed, getting it in the neck.
I sometimes think that one of the things that VAR does help with, it makes the officials look more human. Because how often do you see, you could take the Kieran Trippier incident yesterday, or a penalty that's given, or a goal that's given and or not given, and what have you, and the players will surround the referee, and the referee can say to them, listen guys, the VAR will sort it out. I've maybe made a mistake. I don't know. I've maybe made a mistake there. But the VAR will give you the correct decision. So just bear with me for 30 seconds. And I think that will help Scottish referees as well. Rather than putting them under the pressure that Graham's talking about, and he's right, they are under scrutiny, they are under pressure. But on Saturday, if, and I'm going to take Willie, I'm going to give Willie Collum a rest, if Nick Walsh in your game and Marvin's game, rather than giving the penalty at the behest of his linesman, he could have said to the Livingston defenders that were surrounding him, listen guys, the linesman says it's a penalty kick, we're just going to have a little look at VAR. I didn't think it was. I couldn't see. Don't blame me. I'm going in my lines, and I need to trust my linesman here. But VAR will sort it out. It would have made things a whole lot easier. And as for speaking to the media, I think it's a really good idea. And I'll give you an example last week. When Mark Cucurella of Chelsea had his hair pulled right at the end of the Tottenham game, and VAR, Mike Dean, didn't give it. Three kicks out of corner, I think it was, allowed to come in. Harry Kane glances at it in 2-2 rather than 2-1 to Chelsea. And Mike Dean, having reviewed it at the start of the week, said, listen guys, I made a mistake, I'm really sorry about it. He's come out in the media and he said, hands up, it's my fault. Now, referees, you know, if they were speaking each week after games, half the time they wouldn't be speaking about mistakes. You know, a lot of the time they wouldn't be speaking about mistakes. We only talk about things like this when you're wanting Willie Collum to come in and say, I made a mistake. Willie Collum might well come in and say, listen, I don't think I did make a mistake, and here's why. This is why I sent John Lundstrom off, and this is why I didn't send Jake Doyle Hayes off.
What do you make of that, Graham? I've heard that launched as the counter to your argument, this notion that you only want to speak to Willie. You know, no one wants to speak to Willie Collum after the game to say, oh, by the way, well done on sending Alfredo Morelos off, because that's what everyone agrees, or most people have agreed on the phone. It would just be on like these one-off occasions, put them up there and kind of make them justify their mistakes, sort of thing. Is that, do you still think it would work? Would it have the desired effect?
I agree with Roger completely. You want to hear why they gave a decision. You don't want to chastise them in front of the nation for doing it wrong or getting a mistake. They're not robots, they're humans. I don't want my guys at work to be 100% because they're not robots. They make mistakes. It's what happens. You know, we're all, it just might take a bit of the heat off. And I think it's interesting that the mainstream media TV channels that show football, I don't want to mention them, but a lot of these guys have got former referees in video studios live as the game's going, and they jump over to them to explain the decision. It's great. Viewers like to see it. So it'd be nice to hear it from the actual guy that made the decision at the time. I think referees probably would back it.
I mean, sometimes you still don't agree with them and you wonder,
but they're just sticking up for the ref.
I'll give you an example. I was at Perth on Saturday. We spoke about 5 St John's and booking none to Aberdeen. One of the guys booked was Graham Carey. Now Graham Carey then takes down Johnny Hayes for the free kick that Leighton Clarkson sticks in the top corner. If Craig Napier, who had a very good game, had been available to speak to the media afterwards, we would ask Craig Napier, listen, you didn't book Graham Carey, didn't give him a second booking, you took him to the side and you spoke to him for maybe 10 seconds. That's probably good refereeing at that stage, not to send the player off. You know, so it doesn't need to be a negative all the time. It can be a positive.
Right, thank you very much, Graham. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Do you know who's breathing a sigh of relief tonight? Dundee United. Because we would have got round to having your say about Dundee United
No. Producer Callum's not back in the country. We're parking this issue until Producer Callum's back from his half marathon in Iceland.
We will revisit it, because after getting battered by AZ Alkmaar and coming back and getting a heavy defeat again. And then this week, losing 3-0 at home to St Mirren. All is not well, Marvin Bartley. What are you making of what's going on there?
No, it's tough. It's extremely tough for them. You know, you look back only maybe, what, 10 days, 2 weeks ago, and they beat AZ Alkmaar in the first leg 1-0. Everything was rosy. You know, then they played us on the Sunday and lost. And then it seems since then everything's gone extremely downhill. It's very difficult for Jack Ross at the moment, I imagine, to pick the players up. It's been tough for them. He needs probably some of the more experienced players within the dressing room to help him out a little bit. But Jack Ross is a good manager, and I'm sure he'll get it right. You know, the only thing is in football, you know, you're seeing rumours now circulating on social media, which probably means they're not true, that Jack Ross could be thinking about walking away. I hope he doesn't. You know, him and Liam Fox are a great coaching team. I think they will get it right. Just need a little bit of time. But there's no doubt about it. Things have to improve and improve very quickly because, you know, Tam Courts before he left, you know, getting them into Europe, the top six finish, all of those things, you know, there's so many positive things around the football club. And at this moment in time, it's kind of gone in the other direction.
Let's hear from Jack Ross.
I think the manner of the goals today probably sum up where we're at the moment. You know, all three goals come from us having the ball in there. Our attacking third, their defensive third, and we concede from there. So, what we're producing as a team at the moment, as a collective, is a long way short we need to go. You have more doubts when you're in difficult periods, but I'm kind of loath to ever use that as an excuse. I don't think any professional footballers, maybe the top ones, ever go in the park absolutely brimming with confidence. I think we all have anxieties and stresses and doubts and worries, but usually when you're on the pitch is when you come to life. And but we've not got that. I mean, there's not a lethargy about a player, there's a lack of energy, there's a lack of purpose about everything we're doing defensively and going forward. And I've got to try and fix it, because at the moment I'm not.
How worried should Dundee United fans be, Roger?
What would worry me? Robbie Nielsen did a really good job when he was manager at Dundee United and brought them back into Premiership, and then walked away to another job. And Mickey Mellon came in and consolidated Dundee United in the Premiership, and then walked away to another job. And then Tam Courts came in and took Dundee United into Europe and walked away to another job before they played their European games. And I agree with Marvin, I hope that Jack Ross and Liam Fox stay where they are and battle through this bad period. But if they were to walk away, you begin to wonder, is the problem the manager, or is the problem somewhere else at the club?
On paper, that really frustrating expression, Marvin. Looks like a very good team Dundee United have got.
It does, with some really exciting youngsters mixed in there as well. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure, you know, when Jack Ross was assembling his squad throughout the summer, you know, he thought things would have started a lot better than they have. And you know what football's like, you know, fans are very fickle at times, and you know, there's a lot of unrest at that football club at this moment in time, and probably rightly so, because as you said, on paper they have a very, very good team. But it's amazing, we're speaking about a manager struggling and maybe walking away after only four league games, and that's just where we are in kind of in modern football. But I do think they'll get it right. They have to ride this tough time. These things happen in football, and they'll be stronger for it when they come out the other side. It's just, when will they come out the other side?
Nice easy fixture next though. Celtic, Tannadice, Sunday.
Yeah, listen, nothing's expected of Dundee United. I don't think they'll win the game. I think they'll probably lose the game, to be honest with you, Gordon. But I think Jack now will just be looking for a performance from those players.
Quick whistle stop tour of some of the other results from the weekend, because it's been a very busy show regarding referees. Ross County, they were pointless before going into Saturday.
Yeah, and I think when they had Ross Callaghan belatedly sent off, I think we probably expected him to remain pointless. Kilmarnock maybe kick on and win the game. I think it says a lot about County that they managed to rally, and Awora Edwards got that winner at the end.
Any Kilmarnock worries? Ayrshire boy like yourself.
Listen, you can make an argument that half a dozen teams in the league will probably worry. I don't think Derek will be overly worried at the minute.
And now that it's all said and done, final comment of the night. Everyone could agree that the worst refereeing decisions were the one in Dingwall, yeah?
No? yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
Not Fir Park, not Easter Road,
no,
not Celtic Park.
Me and John McCrossan are now buddies.
Good, I hope so. Right, let's finish with this teaser quickly. 12 Stevie's Stevens currently managing in Scotland or England. You've got Cooper, Evans, Gerard, Hamill, Morrison and Robinson. I've not left you a lot of time.
Right, Dumbarton was one of the answers and beat the pundit. Stevie Farrell.
Yep.
Stephen Swift. They play each other now.
Steny, yep.
Well, Dumbarton are top of League 2, second place is East 5. Stevie Crawford.
Brilliant.
Got nothing more for you.
What about Steve Bruce at West Brom?
You can just always assume he manages someone. See if you can't actually remember who he manages. You know he's somewhere.
My old pal Brian Caldwell down at Shrewsbury, his manager Steve Cotterill.
This guy.
And I think my mate Ryan Hardy plays at Plymouth, the manager Stephen Schumacher.
Yeah, he's like a young Marvin Bartley, your knowledge. Brilliant.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely fantastic. We'll stick together. We will stick together.
Well done, the two of you. Roger, it's going to be some week as well. We're only just getting over the weekend. Then we've got PSV Eindhoven Rangers, Hearts FC Zurich, the small matter of Europa League and Champions League draws. We don't know who will be in them yet, but what a week we've got coming up.
Absolutely terrific. Always look forward to Champions League draw, Europa League draw, Conference League draw. And then we ask Gordon Dale what countries the clubs come from, and he's completely baffled.
It's always great fun. Thank you, Roger Hanna and Marvin Bartley. That was extremely busy in the phones, so thanks a lot for getting through. We really do appreciate it, and we can do it again tomorrow. If you didn't get on, give us a shout. Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale are here, and just stay where you are, because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Ever thought about Botox but worried you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.